now I have content for months because it was really hard to record Monday, edit, send, and make it on time on Wednesday, as where now I am booked for a couple months worth of content for the podcast.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
What's up, podcaster? It's your friend, Adam A. Adams, and I am excited because Heather Servine is on the podcast today. And she said she's a little bit nervous because it's her first time ever being a guest on anyone else's podcast. So I think it's kind of cool that this is going to be your way of breaking into something that I hope, Heather, I hope you do a lot more. And if you're listening, do exactly what Heather's doing today. Get past that comfort zone, break past the barriers, and put yourself on the other side of comfort because that's where growth happens. Heather and her co-partner, her co-host, Jenny, they host and run a podcast that's called Lives of the Poor and Crafty. Lives of the Poor and Crafty is a podcast that helps small business owners to be able to be, even on a low budget, if they're scrappy, to be crafty and resourceful to be able to grow a business. So if that's you, if you're like, man, I got a business, but I got it on a budget, you can check out Lives of the Poor and Crafty with Heather and Jenny. You can also check out Heather's full bio in the show notes. As you know, I never read bios because I'm dyslexic and I don't want you to be bored. So let's just jump in. If you want to read the whole dang thing, it's already in the show notes. Scroll down, check it out. If you want to check out Lives of the Poor and Crafty, which is for business owners on a budget, scroll down. That link is also in the show notes. Heather, how long have you had your podcast? When did you just say months? How many months has it been?
Five.
5 months. And out of curiosity, why did it take you so long to get as a guest on someone else's show? Why did it take you 5 months to do something that on my podcast, I tell people this is one of the best ways to grow a podcast, to get your exposure? Because now some of my listeners are like, man, I've got a business on a budget. I've got to check this out. So now they're going to be rolling over. And the cool thing about my listener is they already listen to podcasts. So it's a simple transition to check yours out. So why did it take you 5 months to get on your first one?
So very nervous. When I started to do the podcast, it was just me and my friend having a good time. And then I really enjoy it, as to where she is still in her, like, I do, but I don't stage. And I really enjoy it. So I think that's why it took me so long to even want to pursue like jumping in fully. I wasn't, okay. I was on that edge. And then I was like, okay, let's do it. Just jump in.
You mean to start the podcast or to get as a guest on somebody's show?
To be a guest.
Okay. So it's just taking you this long because you're like, I'm not sure if I want to be a guest.
Correct.
Okay. And what do you think after today, when I give you a real hard time on this podcast, do you think you'll ever be a guest again?
Most definitely. I think that when somebody else interviews you, you feel a different type of connection. Instead of you interviewing somebody, you get the backhand of being interviewed and really dig deep into you, who you are.
Backhand sounds painful. Sounds a little painful. So here is a question, Heather, a couple of questions. Number one, when I started my first podcast, I ended up selling it like a couple of years ago, but I started this podcast and I had three of us. There was three of us. There was me, Manny, and DJ. And eventually those two both fell off and it was only me. So we had to take their names off of the artwork because they never wanted to come on a show. And I had to become and own this podcast by myself. Granted, I had a little bit of help with some of the editing. But for me, I started with three, went down to one. And I thought it went better the fewer that we had. Now, other podcasts, they have four or five or six people on at the same time. But for our purposes, we were all business partners. And it felt like it was taking all of our time for the amount of same time that one of us could be doing it and the other two could get more work done and stuff like that since we owned a business together. But ultimately, we lost a couple of people. Now, as I understand it, you've kind of lost some hosts or co-hosts as well. So you started out with four.
Yes,
today, you're down to two. Do you mind sharing with our listener the takeaways that are beneficial for them? If our listener is like, I'm not sure if I want to do it by myself. I'm a little bit scared. I think co-hosts would make it feel a little bit better. Maybe it would make it easier. Why did you start with four and go down to two and give the listener some like takeaways that are beneficial to them so that they don't make a mistake, if at all possible?
When I first brought up jumping into it, it was four best friends who all have small businesses. We all have something to give. And to be honest, I think being a co-host with our podcast, when it was four of us, it was really hard for four of us to be talking with a guest. We had to like not be able to like jump in because it was hard. But at the same time, I think having co-hosts on your show is beneficial because you're not just talking by yourself. I feel like when I'm talking with, like right now, it's just you and I. It's more a one-on-one, and I enjoy that better than having multiple people on. As where me and Jenny, when we talk, it's a lot easier because it's more of a flow instead of more of a script, because we have to really kind of script it out so that we're not all asking a question at the same time. I don't know.
So there basically is pros and cons to co-hosts or no co-hosts. And it sounds like you like the one co-host a little bit better than being completely by yourself with a guest or being with four co-hosts and a guest. And the reason why is it sounds like it's like this Goldilocks thing where it's like your porridge is just right when you have one co-host and your guest. And some of the considerations that I'm hearing you say is, well, all four of the friends were great connections, great friends. They all had some type of value that they could add to a podcast, but it kind of felt like too much. It kind of felt like too awkward. It was trying to figure out how to streamline it, but it was a little messy. It was a little confusing with so many different voices and opinions at some points of the podcast. But at the same time, if you're completely alone, then you would feel like you're kind of missing something. You kind of like a little bit of that healthy banter, a little bit of that support and help to have a co-host. So a couple of things. Number one, I'm wondering, what do you think is the sweet spot for other people? So number one is, what's the sweet spot? Number two, I'm very curious, why did your other co-host fall off? Did you say, F you guys, get the hell out of here. This is awkward. I'm done. Or did they kind of phase out some other way? So what's the sweet spot for other people, and how did you lose two on your podcast?
I think one person as a co-host or by yourself is the sweet spot. Don't go any further than that because too many voices, too many opinions, too many heads being butted. My two that fell off, we all bumped heads. I am a very stubborn woman. And I like things ran a certain way, and I like things to be done on deadline, and I don't detour from that. If we're a minute late, we're a minute late, and there's why. Why are we a minute late? And most of the two of them are very chillaxed and not too caring on deadlines, and it just wasn't a fit anymore. And they went their separate ways, and we went our separate ways.
Makes a lot of sense. So if I'm listening, I'm thinking to myself, maybe I ought to be by myself on the podcast or have up to one other person on the podcast. That's kind of the sweet spot. And the second thing is, if I have one other person or two or three or four, I have a higher probability of bumping heads. And maybe, and I don't know if this is the case for you, Heather, but it could be for the listener. It could be that we could lose a friend. I got lucky on ours. Like, we did butt heads in a way, but we did it when they stopped podcasting. I was like, oh, thank goodness, because I didn't have to tell them. It was their idea, and I was so glad. But there was like, I wanted to run things just like you. I want it to be done well, done right. I don't want it to be late. I don't want it to be wishy-washy. I want people to show up and show up fully. And so I kind of got lucky when, I'm just being honest, one of them was like, man, hey, I can't really do it today. Is it okay if you guys do it without me? And then that happened again. And that happened again. And then the other person was like, I also can't do it. And I said, okay, fine. I'll host it by myself today. And so I did. And as we went on, I think I don't know if this was as incognito as I thought it was, but I basically said something to them like, hey man, would it be easier for you? Cause I'm like so scared of being like, get out of my podcast. Let me do it by myself. I was afraid of that. So what I did instead is I go, hey, do you guys want me to just co-host? Do you want me to just host this by myself so that you don't have to be on? And they said yes. And I was like, oh, thank goodness. Now I don't have to tell them that I just wanted to do it by myself, because that sounded selfish and I was afraid to do that. How did you guys split up? Did you hint at it and they took the bait? Or did you guys like have a falling out and you were yelling at each other? Or what kind of happened for you?
It was the yelling and the falling out. It was too much of a clash between me and them, and it wasn't good. Jennifer or Jenny, she talks to them. I don't talk to them. I cut ties completely. We don't speak. We're like on whole different sides of the world now. Like, I'm good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you were able and willing and able to be vulnerable and honest with our listener, because I want the listener to get some real tangible help in their process of having a podcast and just kind of like what can happen, and to be able to see it from both sides. So thank you, Heather.
You're welcome.
I'm curious, because your podcast is about being scrappy. I know that you started a business that I think was like building shirts for other people. And with that business, after having kids, you like made it more of like a full-time gig. And now, isn't that the podcast is like a second business for you?
Technically would be my third business.
Ah, okay. So tell the listener what you kind of have your hands involved with today. What are your hands in? And if you don't mind following it up with just like, how does the podcast support that, what you do?
So I started with making t-shirts when I had my daughter. And when I decided, it took me about 6 months to decide that I wanted to take it full time and take it into an actual business. I was just selling them for friends and family. And then I jumped in and was like, okay, let's do it. I'm just going to do it. And now I am a Tumblr maker. I don't even sell shirts anymore. I refuse to sell them. They're the worst thing in the world to sell, because I just don't like them. It's not my niche. I don't like it. But I am a Tumblr maker now, and I sell them full time. I am a content creator that helps other Tumblr makers teach other Tumblr makers how to make tumblers. So that would be my second business. And then my third one would be the Lives of the Poor and Crafty podcast. And they all kind of mix together. My two businesses, they do help me be able to reel in guests to come on to the show, because they want to help grow their business, but also help being able to have more listeners come on to listen to our show. So they kind of like all work together for me.
Okay. I have to ask, and I'm really sorry if this is offensive at all. What the heck is a Tumblr
and a Tumblr maker?
And like, I did gymnastics when I was a kid and they said that I was tumbling. So that's all I can think of. What is a tumbler?
It is a stainless steel tumbler, like you get at Walmart, or you can get it somewhere.
I still don't know. What is a tumbler?
What does it do? Like a Yeti. It's a cup. You drink
out of it. Oh, okay.
But they're glittery.
Okay. So it's good for coffee?
Yep.
Or cold things too?
Yep. Cold.
Okay. I actually have seen a tumbler and I just didn't like put it, the two together, but I've definitely seen those for sale. I've seen the name of them, but it is not what I was thinking when you said you were making tumblers. I was thinking like, is this like a thing that you put your rocks in and then you tumble the rocks and the rocks become shiny? Or is it like a gymnastics thing? Okay, a tumbler. It's,
I should have said resin artist.
Resin artist. Okay. And so you like make these online?
Yes.
And then how do you sell them?
We ship them. I ship them around the world. I have people in Canada. I have people in Mexico and Europe. Okay. It's fun. I like it. It's like,
so are these like, you make a whole line of a glitter tumbler, a 22-ounce glitter tumbler, and it, and it's a thing that you sell, or is it more like custom? I want a tumbler that has a picture of me and my spouse on it. And so then you make it.
Both. I love customs. You ask any tumbler maker and they will say they hate customs because people are outrageous with the requests. I like customs better than a line of...
What does outrageous mean? It's like putting nudity on there? What's outrageous?
I've had somebody ask me if I could put a wiener on their cup or a vagina. I'm like, no, you got to find somebody else.
Crazy.
But I do enjoy customs. I do a drop every once in a while of ready-to-ship cups that are already made. They don't change. That's just the way they are.
That's pretty cool. And so three businesses. One is you are a tumbler maker. Two is you put out content to coach and help other tumbler makers. And three is your podcast about small businesses growing in with even at on a small budget. And that's connecting with other people as well. And because of all three, they kind of work hand in hand. You can connect with other people that might be good for you to teach how to make tumblers. You might be able to learn some things from what somebody else is doing on their podcast. I mean, in their business, in their small business. And it's like, oh, I never thought of that. And then you can maybe implement something like how to hire somebody else, get like a virtual assistant, pay $5 for the item instead of $7 for the item or something like that. You're able to kind of grow them all at the same time.
Yes, correct.
Cool. Out of all of the things that you've learned with your podcast, whether it's how many co-hosts to have, whether it's how many roles you and your co-host need to have, whether it's how to edit, how to find a guest, because I know you do most of the editing and booking, and your partner, I think, does, your co-host does more of the promotion. They create the promotional images. They do a lot of the social. Out of all of the things that you've learned for the last 6 months, 5 months, what valuable lesson or lessons do you think you've got to make sure that our listener who's a new podcaster needs to know?
There's a lot. When we first started, we're doing week by week. We would record on Monday, we would drop Wednesday. Now I have content for months because it was really hard to record Monday, edit and send and make it on time on Wednesday, as to where now I am booked for a couple months worth of content for the podcast. We still struggle with trying to find ways to make it better. It's kind of all over the place sometimes with us because we're still learning as we're going. We're pretty new and this was kind of like a wing it kind of thing. We were talking as a group of people on a Facebook Live, and they're like, well, and then I was like, you know what? Why don't we just do it a podcast? You know, there's a lot of people that could learn from us, could take some ideas and run with it. And that's how we kind of started. We didn't plan for it. So I think now a couple months in, I like to be more of a planner person. I want to make sure that there's enough time to edit and I don't have to rush. And I think that when you first start a podcast, that you should probably record a few episodes ahead of time so that you're not crazy stuck like I was.
So here's some of the like big things that I'm getting from you. Everyone that I know besides me, I'd say the opposite, but everyone else says, quote, just start, quote, don't overthink it, quote, ready, fire, aim, quote, you can always switch it up later. So they're really advocating for like not planning and just getting that thing out. And then on my side, I usually tell, especially our clients, like they're paying good money to work with us. I'm going to say, let's make sure we're doing this well. Let's make sure we're doing this right. Some of the issues that you've come across are feeling like you're behind the eight ball. You didn't have a whole bunch of content right off the bat. You were always like recording on Monday and trying to get it out for this Wednesday. You couldn't get sick. Nothing could happen with your kids. You weren't able to go on a vacation on a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, or else you're screwed and not being able to post an episode. So it's feeling behind the eight ball, not being prepared. And the way that you fix this over time, and you said you're still learning and growing and gaining more things, but you started out really kind of winging it, but you've learned that it is way better to be ahead of the game instead of behind the eight ball, to be ahead of the game. And whereas you've gone so far, and I love it, I'm also like 10 months ahead, just FYI, I'm like 10 months ahead. You're a couple of months ahead of the game. Yes. And you are going to do that for sure. You were like, oh crap, it's Monday. We've got to get something out for Wednesday, and stressed. And you said, never again. I'm going to get months ahead so I don't ever have to feel that way. And that is a huge takeaway for the listener. Is there any other thing that I missed or that you think needs to be like rephrased for the listener so that they get something out of the podcast episode today?
No, I think you hit it right on the marker. It's real hard to not plan. For me, I am a planner. I have to plan. If not, I am very an overthinker. So I'm like, oh no, I missed something. Oh no, what's going to happen? Oh no. So I am a planner, but I do see that if you're not a planner, just go for it. Just do it.
Okay. Got it. Cool. Let me think if there's anything that we need from you. How about this? How do you come up with content? You're the one who books out the guests.
Yes.
Like, so what are the considerations? What have you learned over time of like how to pick a guest or how to start an interview that, or if you should be doing the episode without a guest? What have you learned over the last 6 months, 5 months of launching a podcast as far as like booking out this content and having an idea of like the questions that you might ask or the value that you need to give to your listener?
Questions are hard. They're real hard to ask because you can't ask the same question to every single person because every person is different on how they come to you. I try to, when I'm booking somebody, I try to make sure that who I'm booking can actually bring a purpose to knowing what they're going to be talking about, whether it be their small business and how they started and how they grew and how did they grow, or you're coming on and you have, you're a small business owner and you've been down in the dirt. How do you get out of being down in the dirt and continue your business? Or how do you, there's different in the small business industry, there's a lot of drama and there's a lot of pressure. They assume that we're Amazon. A lot of people think we're Amazon, and it's hard on small businesses who are just one person to be Amazon. And a lot of businesses struggle with that. And there are a lot of big content creators who have small businesses that can help with that. And when booking them or booking people to come on, I think that's where I look at the most, who can come on and really help other small businesses. There are sometimes that I just have small business come on and they talk about their small business and how they did. And most of the time when they do come on, they do give us a great value, but it's not as amazing or a great content. Like, everybody's great that comes on, but it's more they have not so much to say because they're just starting their journey as well.
Okay. I got a lot from that. What would you say is your current challenge? Like, you've got your podcast. It's been 5 months. You've learned a lot. You've come far. You are working ahead of the game instead of behind the eight ball. It's less stressful for you. You're less likely to quit the podcast because of all the stress that you could have had. But what do you wish would happen today? Like, what are you sad about or upset about or struggling with or need to solve for the podcast today that might be helpful that we talk about it for somebody else who's jumping in a show?
I struggle with making sure that, like, the show notes, I struggle with them so bad.
Okay. What do you mean by that? What's the concern about the show notes? Is it like, I'm not sure what to say or what not to say, or?
Yes, I don't know what to say, or sometimes I feel like I say too much, or I don't give enough information out, or I forget to add people's information sometimes. Like, it's real hard to navigate on what's best to put there.
Yeah. Heather, do you mind if I try to give you a resource that could possibly help with that one thing?
Yes. I would love that.
Yes, you mind? So I'm not allowed to do
no,
it?
No, I want to know. Please.
All right, done. All right. Episode 147. I just was looking it up as you were talking. 147. Brian from my team and I got together and shared our 6-part show note system, which sounds so cool because there's so many S's. We shared our 6-part show note system with the world on episode 147. We will link to 147 below as well. But I want to share, like, in short, what this is, because it could be helpful for other people that are not sure what's the best thing. So we do one or two sentences of a summation. Like, we kind of just, like, talk a little quickly about what is the podcast episode going to be about. Then we do part number two, if I remember correctly, is just some bullet points. So for example, we might, I don't know if this is going to be the case, because I don't write the show notes for my podcast. I have my team that does it. And so they'll just pick whatever they saw was valuable. But it could be something like this. In the first part, it's like, today, Heather and Adam have a conversation shortly into Heather's journey as a podcaster with her co-hosts. And they talk about ways of increasing your podcast or automating or systemizing your podcast. That would be the one or two sentences. Then in the bullet points, it might say something like, I'm not sure what they'll pick, but it could be something such as, should you have multiple co-hosts? ? Because then in the bullet point, we're like, oh, dude, I want to know that thing. So I got to listen to this episode to find out. Another one might say something like, how far in advance should you record your episodes? Because you and I talked about being behind the eight ball and then going to a couple of months ahead, right? And we might have considerations on how to launch a podcast. And so there was just going to be like a few quick bullet points that don't answer the question, but they just propose the question. And then in the template of the 6-part show note system, there's also places where it says, connect with a guest. And so then it has the links that you can give them. It has connect with us. So, like, they can work with you and your team. And it might say connect with your, if you have a sponsor for your podcast, that's one of the 6 parts as well. Connect with the sponsor. So it would be like information about whoever is sponsoring the show. It'd be information on how do you connect with Heather Servine's coaching program to help you be better at tumbling. I'm saying that wrong. So do you want to start a Tumblr business? Connect with Heather. So, like, you've got this system where it's connect with the host, connect with the guest, connect with a sponsor, the summation of the episode, the bullet points of the episode. And one of the last ones, one of the only other one that I haven't said is if you've got a free giveaway on your podcast, and we recommend it. Like, we recommend that everybody has a free giveaway. you're going to have a podcast. You need to find out, how do you get your listener to take action on something that your listener needs to do? So you create something like for Heather's company, for Heather's podcast, her perfect listener, her perfect avatar is a crafty, scrappy, resourceful small business owner who is on a budget. So you might create a PDF like giveaway, download the free book about starting a business on a budget. Or you might have like, here's the checklist of the hats that you're going to need to wear when you start your small business. And so like, they download these things and they're like, oh my gosh, now that puts it in perspective. That helps me. And you're allowing, Heather, you're allowing your listener to take the next step toward what it is that they need to do. So you'll think of the things that they're going through, that they're stressed about, and you'll create some type of lead magnet, if you will. We have tons of lead magnets on this podcast. For example, we talk about mics that you might want to own as a podcaster. A lot of podcasters are like, I want to buy my first microphone for $20. They might be saying, I want a good mic and I don't want to spend a lot. So let's do it for $20. So I've got a lead magnet that we've created. It's growyourshow.com/PDF. You just literally go to that place. It has a bunch of mics and you can either upgrade your equipment with vetted stuff, or you can get your first $20 mic that we recommend. And also all of your webcams. If you're looking for a webcam, it's on there. If you're looking for soundproofing for your walls, it's on there. And there's different levels of your budget. If you're needing lighting, if you're needing a green screen, anything you want for your podcast studio is vetted and it's already there. And the cool thing is, when my listener is like, dude, I need to get my first $20 mic, I'm ready for that. Or they're like, I'm ready to upgrade this shitty Blue Yeti for a mic that's actually decent, because the Blue Yetis are crap for podcasting. Now they're able to just go to this one place and I might get their email address as well. So they're taking more action on being a better podcaster. And I can connect with them and they're my perfect avatar, because I know that they're looking to improve their sound quality. So they might be wanting to hire my company for something. You know what I mean? So these are the six parts. It's a summation, it's bullet points, proposing questions, it's connecting with you, connecting with your guest, connecting with your sponsor, and it's download your free thing or get my lead magnet here. Of course, you're not going to call it a lead magnet. I call it a lead magnet because that's what it truly is, but you're going to call it a free resource. Do you want to know the top things to think about when starting a new business? I've put together a PDF, a checklist. I've put together a information. I've written a book on this. You download that for free by going to mywebsite.com/free stuff or whatever you want to call it. Mine's /PDF. But is that helpful at all?
Yes, 100%. Okay. You broke it down for me. So it makes better sense now.
So if you go listen to episode 147, it will be me and Brian like detailing it even better. And there is actually at the bottom of that, when you listen to that, there is another lead magnet, if you will. There is another lead magnet that literally says, get the template of it here. Like, we told you the stuff, but if you just want to make it easy, you can download the template. And then on that episode, there's like a place to go for the template. And then I might get their email again or whatever. You know what I mean? It's just a beneficial way to like help your people. And we have tons of different lead magnets. We have lots of free stuff that we think helps a podcaster. And if we're talking about it, we'll mention it. And we don't have the same one every time, but we'll just like put that one. All right. Trying to think if there's anything else. How about this? What is your, I didn't prepare you with this question, so I get it. What's your like 2-year goal from now? Like, where do you want your podcast to be? How many listeners do you want? How many sponsors do you want? How many episodes do you want? What do you want it to look like in like 2 years from now?
That's a hard question. And I asked that same question myself. So it's really hard to be on the backside of that question now. Dang. I don't know. I want it to be successful. I want to have a lot of listeners. I think that's what a lot of people want. You stumped me.
How about this? What is your next achievement on your podcast? Wherever you are today, what is the very next thing you want to accomplish that you don't have today?
I want to be 5,000 downloads. That is my next goal.
Is that per episode, per month, or per year, or for all the whole time? All time.
The whole time. All time right now.
So you want to get to 5,000. Do you have an idea of what you're going to do to get to 5,000 total downloads?
I have not got there yet.
All good. All good. Well, I would just say 5,000 is going to be achievable. It's something you can absolutely get. One thing that you could do is just keep jumping on other people's podcasts. Because it's like the Trojan horse of getting in front of other people's, finding a way to hack the system. And now a few people that are listening today, they're going to like check out your podcast because it's in the show notes already. And that would help you get more listeners for sure. So anyway, some stuff you're already doing is probably helping. You're also editing as well as you can. You're booking good guests. Your co-host is doing some promotional images, going on social. I know you're doing the TikTok. She's doing like, I think, Facebook and Instagram, something like that. And so I would keep doing what you're doing, adding good value. And if you keep staying consistent, I think it's going to work out. So congrats.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us in your journey. And we'd be more than happy to have you in a year or two when you hit your 5,000 or 10,000 or 100,000 or 1 million downloads on your podcast.
Oh my God. Those are some big numbers.
Well, you'll get there. That's for sure. If you don't quit, persistence and determination. Heather Servine, you can find her and her co-host in the show notes. Check out their podcast. And we'll also make sure that her any websites or social is in the show notes in case you want to connect with her or hire her to be a better Tumblr maker yourself. All right, guys, we're out of here. See you on the next episode. By the way, one way to ensure that you don't miss out on great content that we're producing on a regular basis is to make sure you're subscribed to the show. You need to be subscribed or following the Apple Podcast or wherever you listen to it in order not to miss all of that. And before I let you go, I need to mention, because a lot of people are asking, do you help? Can you help me with this? And the answer is yes. My company actually does it. It's called Grow Your Show. And you can find that at growyourshow.com. Our clients, they call us the easy button for podcaster because they simply have to record their episode. And they know that every single thing else is done for them. We sweat the hard stuff so you can be the star of your show. And if you would like help to make sure that we're editing and publishing and promoting and doing your social media, it's all in one place. And I think it's pretty affordable. You'll have to take a look for yourself. Just go to growyourshow.com and check us out. And by the way, I'll see you on the next episode.